Our next guest, the former Register Guard columnist, now covering Michigan for The Athletic, on Twitter, used the handle at @ByAustinMeek. Been about 10 weeks since we last chatted. Austin, how are you and your family doing now in Ann Arbor?
Hey, Steve, we're all doing good. How's everything in your neck of the woods?
So far, so good. Can't complain. They still pay me to do this. to me, that's a start.
Yep. Every day, I still collect a paycheck. I feel pretty grateful. So I'm right there with you.
Yep. You know, once upon a time, we talk about crazy things like depth charts or defense, but in this new world, it's protocols or flattening the curve. So yesterday, the local county health department issued a stay-in-place order for Michigan undergrad students, but the football team is okay to travel to Minnesota. So, you know, if you could kind of, in layman's terms, explain how that all worked out.
Yeah, so... we are right now in Ann Arbor. We are, as many communities are, experiencing a spike in COVID-19, and a lot of it has been traced to the students. Michigan was one of the schools that did open up for some in-person classes, which was controversial. And you know, as these things tend to go, you know, when you bring a few thousand students back on campus, and students do what students do, and trust me, I live in the student neighborhood, so, you know, things get a little bit rowdy on the weekends. And as a result of that, the county health department has had to come in and ask the students all basically to shelter in place for a couple weeks to try to get the case counts down. And obviously that brought up some questions about what that would mean to the football team, because they're going to Minnesota on Saturday, and they have Michigan State at home a week from Saturday. And so the football team is exempt from this. They are going to continue to practice and play and travel. But I definitely think everybody, everywhere in the Big Ten, has their fingers crossed. You know, people were happy when the Big Ten reinstated its season. The teams all wanted this. They wanted to play. But now that it's here, tell you what, you look at the COVID numbers in some places around the Big Ten, and it doesn't look real good.
No, it doesn't. I was looking at it with mayors getting involved, and that's going to play itself out. Man, I miss a good old quarterback controversy. Let's get crazy and focus on some football. Last year, Shea Patterson was the quarterback, a few token appearances. Now it's Joe Milton, who's a redshirt sophomore. He's a big kid, 6'5", 245. So I guess what's the word on his game and the ability to lead this offense?
Well, there's been a ton of buzz about Joe Milton throughout the offseason. Michigan's coaches are really excited about this guy's potential. Michigan's quarterback job was up for grabs after Shea Patterson left. And you know, it seemed like maybe the guy who had the inside track was Dylan McCaffrey, who is you know, the brother of Christian McCaffrey, yep, the son of Ed McCaffrey, so some great football genes there. You know, he had been in the program a little bit longer and was the backup quarterback to Shea Patterson, so I think maybe conventional wisdom was that Dylan McCaffrey might be the next in line. But then we found out a month or so ago that Dylan was going to opt out, and that told you, I think, pretty much everything you need to know about what Michigan's coaches think of Joe Milton. You know, Joe Milton's just got some skills that not many other players have. 6'5", has a huge arm, and that's the first thing anybody tells you about Joe Milton is how far he can throw the football. And if he can put it all together, I think, you know, I think Michigan's coaches feel like he has a chance to be really special. You know, you think about a guy like Justin Fields at Ohio State and what he's done for that program. I think that's the ceiling for Joe Milton. You know, whether he can become that kind of player eventually, we'll find out. But the potential is definitely there.
Talking with Austin Meek of The Athletic, their top deep threat, Nico Collins, opted out. He's a senior, referred to it as a business decision. You know, had size, speed, skill. They lost their top touchdown catcher, Donovan Peoples-Jones. But they've got their top pass catcher returns. So, talking about Milton, what's the word on the targets available to him?
Yeah, losing Nico Collins definitely hurt. because he was, I think, the most talented wide receiver that Michigan had. 6'4", just any ball in his vicinity he was going to come down with. One of the best jump ball receivers in the country. And there's just not anybody on Michigan's roster you look at who can do the same things that Nico Collins could do. So that hurt when he opted out. Their receiving corps is going to be, it's going to be unproven. It's going to be a little bit undersized. You know, Josh Gattis, the offensive coordinator who came from Alabama, his offense is all about basically getting a bunch of fast guys and trying to get them in space, which is a little bit different from what Michigan's offense had been, maybe a lot different from what Michigan's offense had been. So, you know, I think this receiving corps probably fits a little more what Josh Gattis wants to do with it, but they're going to have a bunch of young players and a bunch of new guys, and it's probably going to take them some time to make it all fit.
Yeah, along those lines, I think we spoke last year when Gattis was a first-year offensive coordinator. They ended up averaging about 31 points a game. Their top rusher, Zach Charbonnet, was not 100%. They do have a senior tight end. So I guess what's the buzz about with a full season of this system under the belts about how big it could go?
Yeah, I think if you'd had a normal offseason, the expectation would be that they should take a pretty big step forward in year two with Josh Gattis. Obviously, nobody got that this year. Everybody's offseason was disrupted.
Whoops.
A bunch of them. Also, their offensive line, you know, they've got four new starters on their offensive line. So it looks on paper like this is sort of a transitional year for Michigan. If Milton is as good as advertised, and if they can find guys to step in at some of those other spots, then I think the future is really pretty bright for this offense. But it's just going to take some time, I think. I don't think anybody expects that just from day one everything is going to fall into place, especially given just how unusual this whole offseason was.
You know, one hypothetical with Jim Harbaugh, this is season 6 as the head coach. We know he's still 0 for Ohio State, and the last 2 years he's given up 62 and 56 points. Still haven't been to a major bowl. They lost their last 4 bowls, and certainly, as you mentioned, we're living in unique circumstances. But his contract's up after next year. Is his chair a little warmer? How would you, I guess, describe the stability of his job based on not only those you hear from, but, you know, your personal read?
There's kind of two different perspectives on Jim Harbaugh. I think the outside perspective, you know, when you read maybe the national writers or follow the national conversation with Jim Harbaugh, you know, anytime I go on a radio show, like a national radio show, you know, people ask, is Jim Harbaugh on the hot seat? But locally, you know, there's not as much of that. Michigan, you know, it's a unique place, and Jim Harbaugh, as we know, is a unique man, a unique coach. And I think, you know, for whatever reason, Jim Harbaugh at Michigan, you know, it works for Michigan in a way that I'm not sure Jim Harbaugh would work anywhere else. You know, and if it were a different coach with the same results, I think that there might be a lot more pressure for Michigan to go a different direction. But, you know, I really do think there's a sense that if Jim Harbaugh can't do it here, who are they going to go hire that can do it? And you know, who's the coach out there that if they want to fire Jim Harbaugh, who are they going to go get that's going to put him on the same level with Ohio State? I don't know who that is. I don't think they know who that is. So I think that there's a sense here that it hasn't been everything that Michigan wanted. Certainly the expectations were much higher when Jim Harbaugh was hired. But I also feel like people are starting to maybe adjust their expectations a little bit and say, you know, maybe it's going to take us longer, and maybe we're not going to compete with Ohio State right now, but we like what Jim Harbaugh has done for the program, and we like the person that he is, and we're just going to, you know, we're going to stick with this, and we're going to keep chopping wood and hope that one of these years there's a breakthrough.
Well, I would assume they're not going to reach back out to Brady Hoke, so I'm secure there.
Brady Hoke at San Diego State, right?
Yeah,
back in the head coaching game, which I tell you what, you were there for that year when he was Oregon's defensive coordinator. I wouldn't have put money at that time on Brady Hoke being a head coach again, but we'll see how it goes for him.
Lo and behold, here we are. Defensively, the coordinator's Don Brown, who's had some great years. He's been a Broyles candidate as a top assistant, and by the numbers last year, they were, you know, pretty solid in points allowed, but in their most toughest games, Buckeyes, Wisconsin, Bama, in the bowl game, they gave up more than their average. They lost their top three tacklers, Khalik Hudson, Jordan Glasgow, and I forget his name, their top safety are all in the NFL. So what's the buzz?
Yeah, Josh Metellus, yeah.
Yes, thank you. So what's the buzz about the defense filling those holes and, you know, supplementing the offense?
Yeah, defensively, they've got some guys to build around. Their two defensive ends, Quiddy Pei and Aiden Hutchinson, are two of the best players in the Big Ten. Both of those guys have a chance to get drafted pretty early in the spring. So that's really where it starts for Michigan's defense, is those two ends. Cam McGrone, the middle linebacker, is really good. I think he'll I think he'll be one of the best players in the Big Ten this year. Outside of that, you know, they've got some questions to answer. Don Brown's defenses are interesting from the standpoint that every year, if you look at the stats, they are near the top. They're super aggressive, play a lot of man coverage, blitz a lot, and there's a bunch of teams that Michigan is going to play just can't handle that. You know, when Michigan has a talent advantage against a team, a lot of times they can just overwhelm them because they're so aggressive. The problem has been when Michigan gets in games with teams with equal talent who can, you know, win some of those one-on-one matchups and can handle the blitz, a lot of times it blows up on Michigan, and that's been the story in the Ohio State game. Michigan has gotten to that game the last 2 years and been in pretty good position and had good defensive numbers all year, and then they've just gotten destroyed by Ohio State. And I think that's led some people to kind of maybe wonder, like, is Don Brown ever going to get over the hump? You know, I think people are a little bit tired of seeing the great performances against, you know, Rutgers and Iowa and kind of the, you know, the second-tier Big Ten teams. I want to see it now against Ohio State. Not sure what's going to happen this year, Steve, because Ohio State is loaded. That team, if Ohio State doesn't win the Big Ten, something really weird is going to happen this year.
Weird this year? No way.
I guess I do know. Yeah, it's 2020, right? I got to keep in mind what year we're talking about.
And one last question. I mean, they're playing Minnesota, coached by P.J. Fleck, got on the scene, won 7 games. They were really good last year. I mean, they won 11 games, beat Auburn in the New Year's Day Bowl. They bring their quarterback back. They run, you know, they spread the field. So I'll tell you what, right out of the gate, a couple of top 20 teams, that's a pretty intriguing opener for the Wolverines.
Yeah. Jim Harbaugh, 1-7 on the road against ranked teams. So that's sort of been the, you know, that's been the shortfall for Michigan, is games like this. When they go on the road and play good teams, they haven't come out on the winning end of enough of those games. And this is pretty big opener for Michigan. You know, Minnesota definitely surprised some people last year. You know, maybe a little bit of skepticism about Minnesota. You know, everybody knew they were a good team. I think maybe there were some people who thought, you know, maybe not quite as good as the record would suggest. But, you know, P.J. Fleck, he's got his detractors and he's got his believers. But Minnesota's a really good team, and it would be a good win for Michigan to go in there and beat Minnesota in the opening game, especially considering, you know, you've got a quarterback making his first start, got a bunch of new guys all over the field, basically. So a tough opener, but a chance, really, I think, for Michigan to kind of make a statement here.
Yep, and Big Ten football is back, then Pac-12 football will be back, and your guess is as good as mine where we go from there. Folks, he's Austin Meek, once roamed these very streets that we all do now for the Register Guard, now doing it for The Athletic on Twitter. The handle is @ByAustinMeek. Austin, always appreciate your time. Great catching up. Glad things are going well for you and your family. Be well, and look forward to chatting again down the road.
All right. Always great to catch up in Eugene, Steve. Thanks for having me on, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. My pleasure. Have a good one, my friend. Take it easy.